Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two paths, two choices, two options. The first choice, the first option that we have been given is that we live the life according to our desires and preferences. Just as we want to do, just as we feel like doing, do that, nobody to stop us, no angel to come to remind us, no one to stop us, prevent us, no restriction, no obstacle. Allah has given us an open playing field. 12 hours, you want to sleep, go to sleep. Don't want to work, don't work. If you want to slap somebody, slap them. If you want to swear at somebody, swear at them. If you want to consume somebody's wealth, consume it. If you want to treat somebody nicely, fairly, do it. If you want to break off the friendship from somebody, break it. If has an angel ever come to stop us, anybody, you, as Allah Ta'ala, for example, send a policeman or something, explain to this person. So Allah Ta'ala has given us total freedom. All night long, run your shop business, you can. All night long, look at bad things, do immoral actions, you can. Allah Ta'ala will not say anything. But Allah says, Sari'u al-Hisab, that very soon you will come to me, then I will speak to you and I will address you. Subhanallah. Now, right now I won't say anything. I won't say anything at the moment. You can wait, and I will also wait, Allah Ta'ala says. And eventually you will come to me. Eventually you will come to me. And then you see as well every day those individuals who are departing from this world. Last Thursday there was a brother, a friend of ours, colleague of ours sitting with us. And he was doing dhikr with attentiveness and listening. And we also heard, and he heard that it's the night of Jummah. After every hour during this night, during this day of Jummah, Allah Ta'ala frees 60 individuals, forgives, and Allah Ta'ala multiplies every deed by 70 times. And this is a gathering of dhikr, and there's 70 times extra thawab. And he also heard that after this majlis, a person is forgiven. And we did dhikr, he sat in the majlis, he sat and he did dhikr, and maybe you didn't see him, you maybe didn't even know that he was a guest with us for a few hours. Allah says, look at this, Sari'u al-Hisab. And many people don't remember, where was he? Was he here? He was in a gathering. And Allah's karam and mercy, the way Allah Ta'ala sent him, merciful. A week has passed, and this brother, colleague, I remember him, we were speaking, we were talking that we don't know who's going to pass away, whose turn is it going to be today or tomorrow, isn't it? That definitely come tomorrow for Fajr or Jummah, this could be your final dhikr. These were the things we were discussing, and today we are discussing like that again. And he was listening on that day. And he did dhikr, mashallah, he remembered Allah, he was included in the dua, in the prayer, he attained forgiveness, he went and slept. And after sleeping, we realized that he passed away and went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I saw the effect of this. Until today I remember his face. Until today I remember his face. It's obvious that after passing away, a person's face does have changes that come about on it. And they hadn't even given him ghusl, and I saw his face, subhanallah. And there was a lot of noor on the face, a lot of light. And why not? Because he was forgiven, night of Jummah, the next day Jummah, alhamdulillah, such a great opportunity. He eliminated all his sins and he sat and did dhikr, and Allah Ta'ala called him back to himself. And subhanAllah, he must have had ghusl in Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Look at the karam, the mercy of Allah. So these are great points, my friends. At that time I was saying that Allah has given an opportunity. Don't waste time. There's no guarantee of life. And he knew. Did he know he was going to pass away? No. So this is Allah Ta'ala's karam. Allah says, do what you want in your life, but the fact is this, nobody will stop you, maybe now. You have total freedom, choice, but yes. One is that you live your life according to your desires and freedom of will. Allah Ta'ala says, there's another option B, option two, which is the life following my preference, Allah Ta'ala says, what I like you to do. Your desire is to sleep for 12 hours. My desire is something else, Allah says. Your desire is this, that I can stay at my business place all day long and count money. Allah says, my desire is something else. Your desire is that you want to slap and hit people. Allah says, my desire is something else. Allah says, your preference is that you just want to fill your treasure chest with money, consume people's wealth, hoard it. Allah says, my preference is something else. Subhanallah. So Allah says that you have the choice and option, but I'll tell you what my preference is. Allah has mentioned in the Quran. Allah says that I will tell you that you have a chance to listen to me. Listen to what I like. Maybe you know you're going to come back to me eventually. So if you come with your desire, I will see him. And the person who follows my desire, Allah says, I will see his face as well. Both. Same. The person who lives his life according to his desires and likings will see his consequences in the grave. And the person who follows my desire and preferences, Allah says, will see how his life is in the grave after death. And Allah says, you'll see how both of them rise up from the grave. On the day of Hashr, you'll see them, and you'll see how they both cross the bridge of Sirat. And you'll see at the pond of Kawthar, how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see, we will see the who will drink the water from the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The difference is this, that this life is a few moments, a few hours. Either you live your life according to my desire, Allah ta'ala says, or live according to your desire. Okay, brothers, have you made a decision? So, we should understand this. So, whose preference and desire will we follow? Whose? I can't hear what you're saying. Allah's? Even now, if we have not understood, then we are the most foolish of individuals. Look at the contrast. A big difference here. There's a big difference that is apparent here. Every second Allah Ta'ala is guaranteeing that if you live your life according to your desires, then you will see the consequences. But if you follow my desires, Allah, we say, Allah, we can see our desires, we can feel our desires, we know what we like and dislike. What's your desire, Allah? What's your preference? What do you like us to do? Allah says, I'll tell you. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا Subhanallah. Allah says, my preference and desire is that I have sent my Habib to you, that you do his ittiba, obey him, and you will see the benefits. The example of his life is for you, Allah Ta'ala says. And for this reason, I have not hidden anything from you, Allah Ta'ala says, I have not hidden anything from you. No part of his life have I hidden from you. Everything is clear and apparent. Rather, when he lives his life with his wife, when he lived his life with Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala, and she will explain to you. Hazrat Hafsa will tell you everything. Hazrat Zainab will tell you everything. Hazrat Umm Salma will tell you everything about their private life matters as well. So you can learn from this. So Haya will make it apparent, obvious and clear that nothing will be concealed about the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine that he will sit in the gathering with people and drink water, how he sat at home and drank water, which hand he used to drink water, I will tell you, Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. And when he will lie down on the lap of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, what happens at that time, I will tell you as well. Do we not have these ahadith? Do we not have these learnings? What did Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi say? And what did Hazrat Imam Dawud, Abu Dawud say? What is in Bukhari? What is in Tirmidhi? What is in Bayhaqi? Tell me. What is in these collections of hadith? These are all of the personal habits and characteristics and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gathered them, collected them, preserved them, protected them till Qiyamah, and distributed them amongst the Muslims. Do we get this detail of life from any of the prophets? Was Hazrat Isa alayhi salam not a prophet of Allah? Great prophet. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, was he not a prophet of Allah? Great prophet. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, Hazrat Zakaria alayhi salam. Were they not great prophets? They were. As a Yaqub alayhi salam, as a Yusuf alayhi salam, what great nabis, as a Suleiman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala gave him the power that he was able to speak to ants. He was wandering around in the heavens, in the skies, jinnat with him, and he was traveling to the kingdoms. That Allah Ta'ala, could he not tell us about the minute parts of his life? No. Allah Ta'ala said no. And the reality was that from the beginning till the end, whatever had to occur, Allah Ta'ala said, it was to occur according to the habits of my Mahbub, my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in such a way that the great Nabis, the Ulul Azam, Anbiya, they also had the desire and the request that please can we be the Ummatis, the members of the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were Nabis and they wanted to be Ummati. They were proud, they were envious that, oh Allah, please include us in that Ummah, the membership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nation. And Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to be born into this Ummah, me and you. What a great ni'mah, what a great status and title Allah has given to us. But if we don't understand the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Habib of Allah, and we leave his imitation, and we in opposition to that follow our desires, and we imitate other individuals, then will we have respect? Will we? Such a great maqam, high status, Yes, that he was dragged, the Muslimin, we will be dragged by the chains. There will be chains in the homes and the feet, on the arms, the chains of fire, and the angels will drag us in a bad way. That these are the ummatis of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. What was their crime? Their crime was this, Allah, that they left your kitab and they left the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. This is the big crime. This was their crime. And those people that we go to see, that who lived their lives properly, the beloveds of my beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, let me show you their maqam, their status, their glory. And they are also from the followers. And Allah Ta'ala says, do you want to have this contrast? Do you want to be opposite to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you not think death will come? Will that day not come? What the Quran has mentioned, will that day not come? Tell me the truth. Do we not have iman on these events? We do. We have iman. So when these things have been told to us in the Quran, that time will come and these actions will happen, and you will be asked and questioned, then why do we live that life which is according to our desires, rejection, and it's opposite to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, opposite to the Sunnah of Rasulullah? Why do we live a different life? Why? We need to think about this, my brothers. So let's promise ourselves that no life, no part of life should be that from morning till evening, and through our life, that if a day or a second or an hour passes without the naql of the Prophet, it should not a moment should pass without imitating the Prophet, without following his sunnah. We shouldn't see, oh, is this mustahab, is this sunnah, is this, etc. No, just see one point. As Allah Ta'ala ordered us to follow the Prophet, don't fall into the trap of sunnah, maudu, wajib, mustahab, etc. Whatever hadith reaches to us, the ulama ikram, the respected scholars, have told us about these habits and the lifestyle of the Prophet, it's their job to tell us whether it's mustahab. They will categorize the practice. But our job as individuals, alhamdulillah, is we realize from our heart that this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then whatever occurs, we need to practice it. There will be barakah in it. It is ibadah. There's worship in it. We'll get the love of Allah. We'll get the qurb of Allah. We'll get the station in Jannah. And we'll get the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever loves my sunnah, I will love him. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَيَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And the consequences, I will take that person, I will hold his hand and take him into paradise with me. Look at the bargain transaction we're getting today. Bargain. What a great transaction that is happening with us now. Let's think about it. What a great transaction, what a great bargain we are earning. And this is a sale today. Blue Cross sale, you could say. It's our decision to make a decision from morning until night. I've lived my life today in the 12, 18 hours. What did I do? I woke up in the morning, I had breakfast, then I had lunch, I drank water, discussing with people, talking, praying salah, going shopping, went out, came back home, drove my car, drove my taxi, bought and sold stock. This is what we've done all day long, isn't it? We've worked, transactions, we've eaten three times in the day, drank water, sherbet, drinks. Tell me one point. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. How many things that we carried out during the day did we implement? That what did our Nabi do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he did this action? Did any one of us think like this? In any of the actions that we implement today, from the hundreds of actions, did we think for once that how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? What link do we have with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we think that just from a few moments and seconds on special days or special events that a link is made with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This dunya is not to deceive and show others and show images of, no, it's to obey Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not about days that one day we commemorate, or 4 days or 5 days, or we call ourselves ashiks and lovers and celebrate events. This is not the deen of Islam. The link between us and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very close to us. Allah said in the Quran that he is closer to you than your own self. He loves you more than your own self. What does this mean? That no breath of yours should pass, of mine, of ours, in which we are not imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No action, no second, no moment, no breath, no thought should pass in our life where we are not following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Totally, from morning until evening, every moment, every second, we should think, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? Did he not do this? Hazrat Bayazid Bistami, somebody presented a melon in front of him. Is it haram? No. Is it? It's not haram. It's not unlawful. Do we not eat melon? Is there a fatwa of any scholar, any mufti, that the melon is haram? Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah, great individual. When the melon was presented to him, that please take this melon. He saw the melon and he was about to pick it up, then he left it. They said, Hazrat, is this haram? Why are you not eating the melon? What's the reason? He said, no. It's not the reason. The reason is that until now I've not read a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate. How did he eat the melon? How? So how can I eat it? I don't know how to eat it, how to consume it. Allah. So he didn't become Bayezid Bastami for nothing, did he? In a few hours, banging his head and crying, and we show deceiving actions that we carry out. Do you think an ashik is made through this? No, no, no. Certainly not. There were hidden gems. I'm telling you, ajeeb points. That from his gathering, such a person I've seen. Sorry, from this gathering I'm saying. From our own gathering that we gather. I saw a person from our own gathering. A couple of days ago, I saw the individual. I saw that the Rose of Mubarak and there's Babu Salam. Listen. And what's there? What did I see? Babu Salam. From where we entered to give salam. And there's silence. And there was a guard there who stops a person coming in. And there's no one else at the door. One individual comes. He opens the door. I'm watching this. I was totally empty at that time. Right, the path all the way from Babu Salam till the Rawda. We all aware of this path, isn't it? And understand this, brother. A brother from your own halka gathering. One of the brothers. He's a darvesh from amongst you. And such a darvesh, they are hidden people. MashaAllah. And behind him was another person. And a famous person. Very well known. Look at the difference now. Who is close in Allah's eyes and who is big and who is small. Can we not recognize this? I'm just telling you this 2 days ago. Then what happened? What occurred? That the door, he went, the guard was watching him. The first person went in to go towards the Rawda Mubarak through Babu Salam. Then the darvish from your gathering, mashallah, from amongst your gathering, he goes to the door and behind him is that very well-known personality, famous personality, well-known personality. He's behind him, behind that brother. And they go close and the door is open and the darvish enters and he goes straight to the path towards the Rawda Mubarak, the blessed grave of the Prophet, and the famous person he's trying to go in, and they grab hold of him and say, "You cannot go in." And then I saw that the darvish is standing there and he's doing du'as on his own at the Babu Salam. And I was surprised that this individual, mashallah, subhanallah, tell me, what a great result. Who knows what will occur from amongst you, he is, mashallah. I saw this. Allah Ta'ala knows the hearts of the individuals. Allah Ta'ala knows the taqwa of people. Allah knows the fear of the individuals and their khawf and their iman. The big personality could go. We think he is great. Maybe he would be first to go. He's pious. It's his haq. It's his right. But he wasn't allowed to go. And they said, stop. And then he's requesting, pleading. They said, no, you cannot go in. You cannot go through Babu Salam. Then I saw he stood at the door and the darvesh, our darvesh, mashallah, he went in. Say, subhanallah. Are you asleep? Listen to what I'm saying. Are you in a trance? Are you in a trance? What a great point I'm saying. So this is the difference. This life is artificial, my brothers, and we can understand that who is the Mahbub of Allah, who is beloved and who isn't beloved. And if I say the name of that brother, everyone will run after him. He'll say, oh, I've become a wali of Allah. He'll consider himself, maybe the pride will come in. That he doesn't even know that it's him who I'm speaking about. He's not even realizing at this moment in time. Look at the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the bargains, the transactions, my brothers. This is the results that are being attained. I don't know how many days of our life are left. Forget the two-faced life. Forget the nonsense life. Let's look into our hearts. How much muhabbat and love do I have? Allah Ta'ala has given a standard, a criterion, measurement gauge. That my love, you can only claim my love at that time, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that you can only claim my love at that time, because there will be false claims to my love, Allah says. There will be liars at the Hajj time, Hajj full of lies. The ibadah will be full of lies and falsehood, Allah says. I will not accept. You can only claim your love for me when you imitate and love my Prophet Muhammad, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how? By imitating his lifestyle. What a great point. Yani, in imitating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, this is the standard of my love. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah says in the Quran, clearly, O my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your ummatis yourself, they cannot claim that they love Allah. They cannot, that we are lovers of Allah, we love Allah, we are tawheedi. Allah says, you cannot claim that you love me. If you want to prove your love for me, Allah says, then there's only one criteria that I will accept your love for me. Allah says, how much do you love my Mahbub? Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the shan, our Nabi, look at the glorious status of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine his power, his status, his glory. We fall into arguments. He was this, he was that, he wasn't this, he didn't know this. The Quran says, all arguments collapse on this point. All arguments. How much love do we have? We need to prove. How much the love of Rasulullah comes into our hearts. Imagine, think with these words. Allah Ta'ala is saying that beware, don't claim. I says, I don't accept your claim to my love. You have to prove your claim to my love. First and foremost, you have to prove this. That how much do you love my Habib? And how do we prove this, Allah? Allah says, to prove your love for me, Allah says, there's only one way you can say you love my Nabi. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever he said, did. Whatever he implemented, did, said. That Allah says, are you imitating that? Are you implementing that? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Have you 100% imitated the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in word and action? Do you like what he liked Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Are your faces like his? Is your libas attire like his? It's your choice, fine. You can do what you want, no doubt. No doubt. But is your basis and standard of practice of life on the platform of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Like Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, that he didn't eat a halal commodity or food item because he didn't know how to eat in Sunnah. We don't look at our faces, our libas, our attire, our imitation. We have no basis. Where is it written? I don't need to do this. Where is it written? Show me the proof. It's not written anywhere. Allah Ta'ala has written in His Quran, His Kitab, clear verse. Clear verse in the heavens, on the leaves, on the stones, Allah's inscribed everywhere that I am His who is my Nabi's, my Mahbub's. I am His, Allah says. Is this not the criteria? Is this not the precondition? There's no path that can take to success which is the path against the Nabi. Hazrat Shaykh Saadi, rahmatullah alayhi, said, oh foolish people, don't become foolish. Don't oppose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You think you will attain Allah's nearness? Why are you foolish and stupid that you live your life in opposition to the Prophet ﷺ? Impossible that you will get the path to Allah. Don't even imagine your wildest dreams that you will attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, that you will get peace in this world, you will have peace in your home, that you will have barakah at home. The question doesn't arise. The question doesn't arise. Whose preference is this? Whose? Say it. Allah. That's it. End of story. So whose desire do we want now? Who's this? There are three moments Allah Ta'ala has given us the ni'mah of eating in a day. We eat more than three times a day. Even today, how much we must have been busy in eating. When we eat, do we ever think that how did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam eat food? Say Subhanallah. That when we eat, we burp. We eat so much to our fill and fill our stomachs, and eating is such a great action. Eating food, such a great action, such a great ibadah. Worship action. That the qurb, the nearness of Allah that's attained via the action of eating, we cannot imagine. That condition, but on that condition, that if we eat according to the beloved lifestyle of the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me, but every man, child, wife, aurat, woman, old woman, young woman, hajjan, everyone's eating today. But they never imagine that did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this? How did he start? How did he eat? What are the adab? What are the manners? How should we eat? How should we sit down? No knowledge. No care. Why? Because we want to do what we like. Someone's standing and eating, someone in his hand, someone's swaying and eating, someone's lying down and eating, someone's leaning and eating, someone's talking and eating. These are our choices, aren't they? And all of this is creating Jahannam, fire. Fire. One morsel of food, if we eat according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, it will become nur and barakah and will become the means to the qurbi ilahi, to the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful dua, remember this. Very great masura dua, very regular dua, consistent. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma barik lana fi ma razaqtana wa qina adhaban nar. Bismillah. Ajib dua, unique dua. Before eating, Rasulullah used to eat this, recite this. Ajib dua, unique dua. Allahumma barik lana fi ma razaqtana. Oh my Mawla, my Lord, my Rabb, give me barakah, blessings in what? Ma razaqtana, that what you have given to me, what you have bestowed to me. Yes, subhanAllah, animals are better than us. They probably do shukr of Allah more than us. We eat in such a way we are not grateful. What has come? Where's it come from? Just let it get into the stomach. Let's just shove it through our mouth into the stomach. Whatever goes into the stomach. And look at the dua, the great dua. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to ask. Allahumma barik lana fi. That whatever you've given to us, Allah, that firstly, Allah give us barakah in this. Waqina adhaban nar. and due to the barakah, the blessings of the, look where the dua has taken us. You are eating food. Waqina adhab an-nar. Allah, the barakah of these morsels of food that are going to my stomach, so much barakah will come. That so Allah, so we can be safe from Jahannam as well. And this dua, waqina adhab an-nar. Bismillah. Allah, I start with your name because all the barakat is in your name, Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. So what's the first thing we're asking? Allah's Nabi says, what is he asking? Barakah. That when we eat, what should we see? Barakah, blessings in the food. How will the barakah come? Tell me. The whole message is coming. The whole message. That when we eat, we should eat, the food that we eat should be full of barakah and blessings. It should not be from haram, should not be unlawful sources, not from lying, not from fraud, not from interest, not from grabbing from somebody, nobody consuming somebody's right and haq, not by saving zakat, concealing zakat, because people save zakat and this becomes haram. People conceal their zakat, becomes haram. Barakah. Food should be attained through halal, barakah. And your food should be so pure and clean without any wrong. It should be so halal, the morsel of food that you're about to eat, that it should become so powerful after you've eaten, that a morsel of food becomes great. And the barakah and the blessings are so tremendous. Waqina adhab an-nar, subhanallah. That morsel of food will then make us do such actions, implement such deeds, such amal will be performed after eating that morsel of food, that we will be then saving ourselves from adab al-nar, adab al-qabr. This is food. How important is the food and where we source it from? We should eat halal, not one morsel of haram. And before eating, what should we think? What should we contemplate? Only then will the barakah come. And my friends, it's so valuable, the morsel of food entering our mouths and stomachs. We realize from this dua that when this morsel of food goes into our mouth, through the throat, down into the stomach, what does that morsel become? Blood. When it's digested, then that blood is transported across the body. Then all the organs and the limbs move with the help of the blood. And this makes us do ibadah. And if in that blood there's no halal, then our ibadah cannot be halal. Our worship will not be accepted. That dua will not be accepted. That salah will not be accepted. Nothing will go, the du'as will not go beyond the level of our necks, because it's from haram, and the haram blood has gone into our bodies, and that blood that's being formed from haram morsels and all that nurani and good results is being eliminated from our bodies, will do shaitani actions and bad deeds. It will make us leave salah and leave the sunnah. So how can that person be saved? So food, when we eat, it should be pure and halal. The first question we need to ask ourselves, what am I eating? Where has it come from? How did I earn this? Where did this food come from? Where did the wealth come from? And the effects of eating are very massive indeed. Imam Hassan, or was it Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, they were children at that time. As Ali radiallahu anhu was coming home, karamallahu wajh, and he saw that one of his children was doing a bit of nuisance, maybe they threw something, and as Ali said, my son is doing this. How did he do this action? He didn't say anything to his son. He went straight home to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu and said, that did food come from anywhere outside to a house? And she said, yes, something came from such a person, from such a neighbor. Did Hussein eat this, or Hassan? Did they eat this, consume it? She said, yes, they did. And he said, this is the reason. And he made him vomit or bring the food out, the morsels out, and said that this was the effect of that food, that my son was a nuisance to somebody else. Otherwise, never would he be naughty like this to somebody else. Allahu Akbar. We don't even know that our children, why are they off tracks? Why are they bad? Why are we bad? We don't know. What did our father teach us? Where did he give us money from? Why doesn't he pray salah? That how will the effects come on our children? That if, for example, there are external effects for a few moments after hearing Quran, tabligh, or listen to a lecture or speech, temporarily they do improve maybe, if it does become obvious apparent, but after a while then that effect, it rubs off and then they go back to their old ways, because the water that's gone to the flower is wrong, it's incorrect. The generations upon generations are removed or affected in a positive or negative way based to on the barakah of the food. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? You understand? This is Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire, eating according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the desire of Allah. Look at the difference between our preference and the preference of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, point number two, don't lean and eat. Do you understand? Leaning, yes. Don't lean and eat. You got a cushion, you're drinking tea, you're sitting on a chair, leaning back, coffee, eating biscuits, eating food. Yes, the food's going through different ways, and you're listening to music, etc. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you eat, don't lean on something, because I don't like that. From today, promise that you will not lean and eat. Subhanallah. Because that food, when you eat in that way, it will be in opposition to the sunnah. And we're not talking about fard and wajib. I'm speaking on one basis. Has anyone stopped us? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped us. The fiqh and masail and jurisprudence, that will continue. Forget that for now. We're talking about the hukum of Allah to imitate his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't lean and eat. Don't lean on something and eat. So how should we eat? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, eat like this. Subhanallah. Look, demonstration. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Number one, you can sit, squat, like on your heels, and eat. And this is a great method. Do you understand how to eat like this? Look, shall I squat and show you? Yes, to squat, sit down on the heels, eat like this with ease, with humbleness, and bring the food close to you, whatever you're eating. So every brother, everyone's got to do this. Yes, brothers, listen clearly to what I'm saying, attentively. This is a great ibadah, great ibadah. A few times Allah Ta'ala gives us an opportunity in the day to sit and squat properly and eat. If we cannot, no problem, then sit like this. Option two. Yeah, put your feet back, both of them, like the jalsa position, at the yad position, and bring the food close to you. Yeah, if you cannot do this, then raise your right leg, put the left foot underneath your rear, and sit like this and eat like this. Three options. Apart from this, Rasulullah did not eat in any other way, nor did he prefer. Nor do you prefer. But no, we eat like this. Yeah, and openly and all day long, we don't know how we should eat. That's our desire, our preference. What does that make? That makes our blood, our stool, our urine. And when we eat in the way of the sunnah, it becomes nur, light, iman, blood, good effects. And how much difference? Just if we control ourselves a little bit and we consider and think that we should implement the sunnah of Rasulullah. And then we'll get the reward of 100 shaheed, Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness, and the love of the Prophet Muhammad. And it's written, recorded that he has done a great action of worship. Subhanallah. And that food is accepted. Barakah comes, blessings come, you're safe from Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us this dua. What difference has made? When you implement the sunnah, and that child you wanted to make a hafiz or an alim or a mufti or imam, subhanallah, and when he does these actions correctly, when you're following the sunnah, alhamdulillah, then your children will do the same action. What will be the status of that alim, of that mufti? Look at the enjoyment of praying tarawih behind him then. Will there not be a difference? Great difference. So you need to make your children like this. If you don't practice this, then you'll say, I want my child to be like this. The child will say, no, I want to be a jungly. I want to be rough and do dua for him, or please pray for him, or do this action for him. First correct yourselves and your children will be automatically pious. If you're pious and good, your children will be young. And the youngster children will do the actions according to some, they're eating, drinking, standing, sitting. How do they learn this? How? 2.5 years old, 3 years old, all the du'as they've learned, the children. 2 years old child. And he knows the du'a for eating, sleeping, drinking water. Yes, mashallah, if you practice this, then it rubs off onto the children. I've seen this. And then we said, nur and the light and the good effect. From such a young age, they're remembering Surah Yasin, the young children. Ayat al-Kursi, the verse of the throne. The elder people cannot learn. They are learning these sunnahs from 2 years old, 3 years old child, daughter. Why? Because the nur has gone in, alhamdulillah. Food is halal, halal earnings. Father has not earned haram anywhere. And this is a very big responsibility, that if you've got 3, 4, 5 children, it's your responsibility. If you feed them haram, then I won't ask the children. I will send you into Jahannam, and the sins that they have committed due to the haram food you fed them, you will be going and lying down in hellfire. Allah, I want my child to be pious. It doesn't make any difference if I do this wrong, or please do dua for him, or do this action. That's fine. Fine. But imagine here, Allah says, I won't ask the children that I will punish you, Sari'ul Hisab, in front of your children when you get the chitter, the slaps. Then you'll understand, Allah says, that you are the mujrim, the criminal, not your son. You fed him haram. As Ali karamallahu waj, he didn't say anything to Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. He went straight to Fatima. What is he eating today? Why did you feed him this morsel? Why? When there's doubt, and we have desire for our children to be great personalities, then if we have these desires and passion, then why give them a temporary certificate that we have given them haram inside their stomachs, and we teach them inside them is haram, and we're teaching them hifz? Such alims and hafiz, look at their hal. Look at their conclusion. Tell me, they've never prayed salah. Never seen them at Fajr salah. I've never seen them in congregation. They see no desire that they have to practice the sunnah. No. What a big, big joke and game we are playing with ilm, with the Quran. We are deceiving ourselves. Would we not have to answer for this? Think about this. Think about this. How much we are degrading Islam. And we say this, we see that. What kind of action is this? This man, he doesn't pray salah. This person, he doesn't come to Jamaat congregation prayer. The person, he's right that he should be calling people to salah. And people are afraid of saying to him that, can you pray in the morning? Such a big personality. They're embarrassed. He's got Quran in his heart. He's got hadith in his heart. Memorized. He's got ilm and knowledge. He doesn't pray salah. And people are embarrassed to ask him that he doesn't pray salah. He doesn't come to Jamaat. He doesn't follow the sunnah. He doesn't do amal on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. And he calls himself famous and a great personality. Allah Ta'ala's adab, my friends, we need to be afraid. We need to be afraid. We need to be concerned. Is this the love we have for our children? Tell me. One morsel of food has to be halal that goes into the stomach. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be careful. Without this, there's no power. We are living such an artificial life that to deceive ourselves and others, we are deceiving ourselves openly today. We call ourselves pious and kutubs and ghawth. I've told you, haven't I, that one normal person is going to the Rawdah Mubarak and a great personality stopped behind him, prevented. We say he's great. And the personality says, forget about who you define as a great personality. Allah says, whoever I call great and big, he is the best. Who I define as the best. Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. So differentiation. So if we want to see someone's great and the best, look at him from one basis, one criteria point. That how great an ashik of the sunnah of Rasulullah is this person. How much ishq does he have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much pain does he have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the tariqas of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then we will realize. So this is the hukum, the order. After that, when we start to practice this in our lives, then how should we start to? So when we sit in the way of the sunnah, the three methods I told you of sitting, then we should wash our hands in the hadith of Tirmidhi. Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu anhu, I think it was, he narrated this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, that I heard myself, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you eat, when you sit to eat, then wash your hands, and wash your hands after eating as well. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has instilled immense barakah in this action. Rather than the hadith is stated to wudu. We should wash our hands and face. By at least minimum we should wash our hands. And after eating we should wash our hands. Because all barakah will cease. The noor of the food Allah Ta'ala gave to you, if you don't wash your hands before and after, the noor will disappear. You've eaten dal, alhamdulillah. But what has that dal become? It has become the paratha of hell, of heaven, alhamdulillah. It has become the meat of paradise. Because you ate in the way of the sunnah. Subhanallah. And the people of Dal will go into paradise. And they will go into the beautiful abode in paradise. Wash hands before and after eating. Rasulullah SAW has taught us. Important. And then eating. Eating, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi SAW taught us the adab, the manners, the method. That don't just grab the food and jump into it. No, use these three fingers. MashaAllah, these three fingers Allah Ta'ala says are given to you. Utilize these for eating. Look at the adab. That don't eat like an animal and jump into it with all the hand, the full hand. Eat with manners, with etiquettes, and no arguments, and with ease. And what's the hikmah in this? What do the physicians say? What do the doctors say? Alhamdulillah, those who implement this sunnah, never will their stomachs be upset. Never will they feel that their stomach's got a problem. Who eat in the way of the sunnah. Those who eat with both hands and their mouths are full. Eating in the wrong way from here to here. They've got coke and drinking coke down and glug and glug. Look, eat with the three fingers. And three fingers that you eat with, Allah's Nabi Sallam said that this will become such a great morsel of food that's going into your mouth and throat and stomach because you've eaten in my way. Said Rasulullah Sallam, look brothers, I ask you a question. You go to many invitations and feasts. Have you ever seen somebody eating like this? Great personalities are there. Don't take badly what I'm saying. Have you seen anyone eating in this way? Oh, it's not fard. You don't have to practice this. It's not deen. It's not necessary. What is Rasulullah Sallam teaching us? Tirmidhi hadith, that these three fingers, if you eat with these three fingers, then your fingers themselves have become nurani. Don't waste their Rasul said, don't wash them. No. Rather, lick your fingers. Subhanallah. In front of the people in the gathering, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Oh, he's a fundamentalist. He's backward. He's foolish. He's jahil. I don't know what generation he's speaking about. Sit there in that gathering, despite people looking at you and smirking at you and snuggering you. I'm doing this because Rasulullah has advised me to do this. And I don't know what hikmah is behind this. What do we need to do? Lick the fingers. Imagine this. And what Rasulullah's beautiful secrets he's told us. And what should we lick? No, like this. Not like this. There's a tariqah of how to lick the fingers. There are secrets behind this. If I start talking about this subject now, then we won't finish our discussion for a week. For a week. There are great hikmahs in this. What does a human being get? You cannot imagine. What's the tariqah? First, what do we lick? This, the finger in the middle, the forefinger. Yes, look at the value. It's increased now. Yeah, out of these three fingers, the thumb, the forefinger, and the second finger, you have to lick this finger three times. Then the shahada finger, three times. Aha. So first the middle finger of the hand, then the forefinger, the shahada finger, three times you lick, and then the thumb, three. Say subhanallah. Ah, great trance we're in now, isn't it? What beautiful points we're learning about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam today, his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine his dhikr. How beloved must may Allah Ta'ala give us his sight, alhamdulillah, inshallah. It's Jummah, and Allah Ta'ala, if he accepts his dua, then imagine the enjoyment we'll get. So, lick the fingers three times. What a great hikmah, wisdom. Then we can wash our hands, or you can wash your hands. That's fine. So, you're understanding everything in sequence. What do we do from the beginning, and what do we do until the end? And then how should we eat the food? We should eat if it's in a plate. Not that this, that you are seeking the meat pieces, you jump into the middle. No. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whatever food is in front of you, start eating from what's in front of you. And don't seek other things from amongst the food. If you look for the food, if you go to the center point, then all of the barakah is in the center point and it's distributed across the food. What barakah Allah says, if you eat in this way, there's so much barakah. The barakah is not what you think is in the plate and what you think. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says that all of the rizq and the wealth, all of your lifelong rizq is concealed in that food that you're eating at that time, one time. This is the shan, the glory of the Muslim. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Is this a tax we have to pay Allah? Is Allah Ta'ala pestering us to follow the sunnah? Is it a burden on us? It's a massive favor Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah sent us a guide. Great medical facts have been proven and diseases have been eliminated. We should eat in that way, the tariqah and the method. Don't make noise and follow your desires. And then Allah says in the Quran, look here. Now when we start eating, and for example, we should be careful that the hot food, Allah's Nabi said, don't start eating from where it's hot, is too hot, and it comes in front of you. No, don't touch the food that's too hot. Wait a little bit, put the lid on, or just take the lid off a little bit, so that the temperature becomes moderate, not too hot, not cold, so you can serve it and eat it with ease. That's the temperature that we should eat the food at. Not too piping hot. Then another beautiful point. Aha, that Allah Ta'ala subhanahu has put enjoyment in eating in this way, in the barakah, the blessing. Well, Rasulullah is saying these words to us. And also on top of this, Rasulullah said this, that we do this, that don't blow on the food to cool it down. If cold or hot milk has come on mashroob, you're blowing on the food. When we give the food to the children, don't blow on the food to cool it down. There's no barakah when we do this. Don't get into the trap of blowing on the food. Wait, let it cool down itself naturally. We say, oh, hot chapatis. Allah's Nabi said, no, this is not our style. Garam garam, too hot, piping hot. No, little bit cool it down. Yes, beautiful, beloved, moderate temperature. Moderate temperature. So do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is the sunnah. Now these actions are delivering us to Jannah. And another beautiful point that was told to us by the Prophet, the sirka, vinegar. This is such a great sunnah. The barakah of sirka are so tremendous. That consider all the prophets that passed away, they all consumed and loved sirka, vinegar. They all ate vinegar. So definitely put sirka, vinegar on the table, man. Because when it comes onto the table mat, when I say table, I mean the dastarkhwan, the food mat. Because we eat on the dastarkhwan. Because when the sirka, the vinegar will come to your food mat on the ground, and the sirka you put on the ground on the mat, then so much barakah will come to your dastarkhwan that due to the vinegar, all blessings will come into your food, into your dishes. And definitely, definitely guaranteed, barakah will come when you eat yourself, when your guests come, put sirka, vinegar on the food mat. And another beautiful point, and something that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't like, that enough food, oh, there's not enough salt, there's not enough spices, not enough flavor, taste, this and that. Don't dislike it. If you eat it, eat it. If you like it, eat it. If you don't like it, leave it. But don't say food is not tasty, not good. This is a ni'mah from Allah. If you like it, eat it. If you dislike it, don't eat it. And on top of this, consider this fact that food is a great action. Allah Ta'ala says, eat and feed others as well. Feed others as well. The amal miskeen, feed the poor, the people in poverty, give to people who need, feed the walis Allah, the rich people, pious people, and eat yourself. We call this langar, eat yourself. That this is a great action, barakah, blessings of eating and feeding others. And within here, one thing we should be cautious about and have adab about, manners, that if we call everyone to eat, then look at the person's taste, desire. You've told that person that, please, I need you to come, and you're cooking the food, putting in more spices or salt or less, and he will not eat if it's according to his taste. So if you are inviting someone to eat, you're inviting them dawah, then you should know the flavor. Does he have extra spices or salt or masalas, or he doesn't eat? Why? Because what you will cook according to your thinking opinion, and you'll give him lal, red chilies and green chilies and these spices and these herbs, he may not eat and he may complain. So this is also against the sunnah, not to know the desires and the requirements of your guest, that I want to eat, oh, I eat spices and I have these herbs and things, and I don't know if my guest likes it, but doesn't matter, I'll make it. With caution, we should ask if a guest is coming or you're going to give food to somebody, that do you like this dish? Shall I put extra spices in? Which specific dish you want? We should ask, we should clarify. But after making effort and cooking and you're tired and we cook for them and it's against the adab not to ask, the like, many times this has happened, that person doesn't eat and the food goes to waste. Yes, the person you made food for, he's not eating, he's gone, he's left. And what happens with the food then? It goes to waste. So this is also an adab, a manners requirement. So eating, just the one action of eating, Allah Ta'ala has made it so fantastic, so much barakah is there. This is the sunnah of the Prophet. Many other sunnahs will come in the future, we'll discuss with time, especially for example, starting and ending eating. There's a very big importance laid on this. Remember this. Now Allah Ta'ala has given us the food. Remember this. So whatever we eat in our lives, whatever I eat, little, a lot, sweet, bitter, whatever, that we will be asked a question on the day of judgment with regards to the food we have eaten. Remember this. Every ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given, every reward based on eating, Allah will ask, did you eat? Did you eat in this way? What did you do? Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah is beautiful. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam given a shortcut, easy action, that when I eat, I do one action, I say the name of Allah. When I finish, then I'm grateful to Allah. Subhanallah. What a great action. What a great action. It's nice food, whether it's dates, whatever it is. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to begin in the name of Allah. When he would eat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did one action in the beginning. Before eating, he would start in the name of Allah. Bismillah. There's somebody eating and he doesn't recite Bismillah, Rasulullah would take his hand in the hadith of state and say, what are you doing? You haven't said Bismillah. First call to Allah, say in the name of Allah, Allah who's given you food. And because Rasulullah knew that the lazy times will come, families eating, children are there. So say loudly, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so that the children, if they forget, they will also recite the name of Allah. Subhanallah. So we should also do this action. And all the thawab will come, barakah will come, blessings will come in the food, in the action of eating. So when we start, we should start with the name of Allah. When we finish eating, we should say, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. If you don't remember the dua, then say, Alhamdulillah. What's the difference? That you have fulfilled the requirement of the sunnah way of eating. Allah says that due to this action, whatever you eat, I will not question you with the time spent on the food at that time. Subhanallah. And we've eaten so much, Allahu Akbar, and butter and chickens and meat and mutton and shoulders. Maybe everyone sitting here has eaten equivalent to 100 goats in your lives. When we, don't ask how many chickens, how many chicken legs have I eaten, or leg of meat of mutton. So one thing is, hisab will definitely happen. Allah says, my brothers, the hisab will occur. The day of accounting will come. Whether it's food at the wedding or at home, or you've stolen it, or at your shop or at workplace or takeaway, Allah will ask. If you want to be saved, what should you do? Eat according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we eat, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you finish eating, what should we do? In front of the children, we should say this so that we learn, so that the children learn. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, eat as much as you want. Everything. I will not account for anything. Allah says, free of charge. Eat and gain the bargain transaction. Kulu wa shrabu. So Allah Ta'ala, may He give us all the capability to practice the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah and to live our life in every way or form, in every second. We should do imitation, naqal, and ask what is the way of the Sunnah. So inshallah, very soon I will publish a book just on the Sunnah we're reading and see what great hikmahs and wisdoms will be in that kitab. What the awliya Allah stated from the Sunnah, it will give you benefit and me benefit as well at the same time, inshallah. And I will, inshallah, I'll start writing that kitab and inshallah I will give this to you. Because this is the main part of life that we need to understand. If you don't understand or remember the du'as, then there's a tariqah, there's a method. So you've remembered everything that I've discussed today, isn't it? Do amal on this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.